We begin the current daven Masechta Tzivah, Masdav Pei Hei. We begin 6 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, specifically the halacha from Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav said, although the Torah tells us that a kosher is not allowed to marry a psula, that is, almana is forbidden, a kohen gadol is forbidden to marry almana, a kohen hedi is forbidden in a grusha, a man that's kosher is not allowed to marry a woman of psula. However, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav said that it's not the other way around. And that is, a woman that's kshera is allowed to marry a man that's a pasul. So if he's a chalal, the woman that's fit for kuna is allowed to marry him. Now that the Gemara continues the bringing in the following story where they're discussing this question, which will then revert back to this halacha of Yehuda Marav. So the Gemara brings there, Rav Papa, Rav Hun, Brid, Yeshua, Iklu Lehintzavu. So both of them went to this place, Hintzavu. La'asra de Ravida Bar Oven, which was the place of Ravida Bar Oven. Now, Boy Minayu, they asked from him the following question. Huzru kasheris linas lipsun oiloi? As we discussed on the previous staff on top of this Amud, whereas that there is a discussion, although generally women have the same prohibitions as men, the question is, in this case, where is that a different prohibition? Is it that men are only prohibited and women are not? Or are women also prohibited if they're kasheris? Just like you see, a kasher cannot marry a psula. Can we have a woman that's a kashera marry a pasul or not? So Amar Rav Papa said to them, Tenisua, we learned this in the Mishnah Kedushin. I'll prove it to you from this Mishnah. Mishnah says, Asara yuchsin alu mibavu. There are 10 levels of yichus, of pure lineage, one higher than the other, that went up from Bavel at the time of the second, after the first Churban, the first Galus from Bavel, so they came up back for the second base of Mikdash. So there were these 10 categories, Kahanim, Levim, Yisraelim. Then you had, which those are 3 categories, Chalolim, which is a Kohen that became, his Kedusha was desecrated on some level, Gerim, converts, Harurim is a slave that was freed, Umamzerim, an illegitimate child, Nesinim are those from those people from the Givayim that are not allowed to enter into the Kehillah, Shetuki, that's someone that we tell him be silent when they ask who his father is because we don't know, and Basufi are those that are gathered in from the street, again, not knowing the lineage, who the father or who the parents are. Now, and that the Mishnah says, so Kahan Levim Yisrael, in the first 3 categories, Mutar and Love Zebazeh, there are a lot of intermarry. Then you go lower down, there is some overlap. Kahanim are not allowed to marry into the next category, but Levim Yisraelim are Chalolim, Gerim, Charur, Mutarim, Lo Bezebezeh. All those middle categories are allowed to marry amongst each other. And then the bottom third is Geri, Charuri, Mamzeri, Nesini, Shtukev, Asufi, Mutarim, Lo Bezebezeh. The lowest part, again leaving out Levim Yisraelim, are allowed to marry amongst themselves. Now that's what the Mishnah says in Kedushin. Now Ve'ilu, however, that regarding having kahanim with chalalim, or more importantly, what Rav Papa is trying to prove in that Mishnah, kahanas l'chalal l'ketani. It doesn't tell us that a kahanas, a woman that's fit for kahuna, who we're calling a kashera, is going to be permitted to marry a chalal, who that's a man that's pasul. Obviously, that answers your question, that it's aser. Because it was permitted, the Mishnah Kedusha would have said, it's telling you who's allowed to marry into which category. So if it's like you're saying that a kasher is mutter in the pasul, it should have said kahanas is mutter in the chal, and it doesn't say that. Obviously, it's forbidden. On that, Omlei Rav Huna Bar Rabbi Yeshua says no. Kol heicha dahani nasi b'hani, whatever it is that everyone, male and female, are permitted to marry one from the other category. V'hani nasi b'hani, meaning each male, if we're talking about the male as the dominant one and taking the one in marriage, that this one could take that one and that one could take this one, then katani, then we learn it. So, for example, kahan levim Yisraelim. Whether the male is Yisrael and the female is Kohen, or the male is Kohen and the female is Yisrael, either way it's permitted, so we say that. However, a Kohen, regarding Kahuna, kiven de ilu boyle mints of Chalala Yisrele, if the man is a Kohen, he's forbidden to marry Chalala. That's written in the Torah. So therefore, like Katani, that's why we didn't say it. And the truth is, we could say that a Kashera, a woman that is Kasher for Kahuna, she is allowed to marry a man of Chal. The reason why we don't say it is because it wouldn't be applicable both ways. It would only be from the female to the male. It wouldn't be from the male to the female. Now, Aslub Kameh Ravid Bar Oven. So they came from the Ravid Bar Oven, which this was his place. And Amalahui said to them, Dar the key children, Hachay Amar Rav Yehuda Merav. This is what Rav Yehuda Merav said, as we had quoted this in the previous daf, which is why the Gemara introduced this discussion. Loi huzur kasheris le'nasla psulim. There is no prohibition forbidding a woman that's kasherah for kuhuna to marry a man that's pasul for kuhuna. In other words, that is a chal. That is no prohibition, and that's how he resolved the whole question, saying that this is a halacha that we already know from Yehuda Merav. Now the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah. Now our Mishnah had mentioned, as Taisus said, that we started off this parak of Yesh Mutaris talking about summarizing all the different categories, and it goes through four categories. First, on the biblical level, those that are forbidden to their husband, permitted to the Yavam, permitted to the Yavam, forbidden to the husband. It goes through all the categories, forbidden to both, permitted to both. Then the Mishnah went through Shanias regarding the secondary rais that are Mendiri Seven, they're rabbinic, and also goes through the four different categories. And then the Mishnah tells us that regarding rabbinically forbidden marriage, there she doesn't get a kesuba. Whereas by biblically prohibited marriage, actually she gets her kesuba when she leaves the marriage. Now, the people of Biri, they went and asked the following question, Mirav Sheshes. Let's say she's a secondary ever just to the husband, but not to the Yavam. For example, if let's say it's her husband's, she's her husband's mother's mother, but she's not her husband's brother, the Yavam's mother's mother. And the way that would be is, let's say they're paternal brothers. So they share the same father, but they didn't share the same mother. So her daughter's son is her husband, but her daughter is not the mother of his brother, the Yavam. Now in such a case, the question they asked him was, Yesh le ksuvim yavam aloi. Does she get a ksuvim from the Yavam in that case, or not? As the Gemara explains the question. Since we had the master says, and we quoted this in Naflam Chesem and Aleph, that kesubasa, the ksuva of the Yavama, although when a woman is married to a man, there's a kesuba that he has to give her in regards to the marriage when she leaves the marriage. Now, by the Yavama, it's unique. And that it's actually al nichse by laharishan. Actually, the one that she has to go to claim after the marriage to get her kesuba is not from the one that she's married to, the Yavam. It's only from the original husband, the one that died without any children, as the Gemara there explains, because he didn't take on this marriage. It was brought to him from his brother, and therefore she goes to him. So now, would we say that she doesn't get the ksuba from the Yavam? Now, that's in spite of the fact that in this case, she's not getting anything from a previous husband. Because that's the premise we're explaining from the Mishnah. That Mishnah said that a woman that's rabbinically forbidden to her husband doesn't get a ksuba. Now, but she's only a shneer to the husband, not to the Yavam. So the Yavam, it's a full-fledged marriage. And therefore, she should be able to get a ksuba. But the ksuba doesn't come from the Yavam, it comes from the first husband. Now, the first husband, she's not getting it because she's a shneer. So do we say that since it has to come from the first husband, and she was a secondary Evertim, so she doesn't get a ksuba? Or maybe the Gemara says no. Kiven de ilu lesla, since the halacha is also, there's another added component to this halacha of the ksuba of the Yavama. And that is, if let's say regarding a regular Yavama, that if she doesn't have Merishin, let's say she's not getting ksuba from the first husband, the one that died without any children. For example, let's say he doesn't have any remaining estate after he died. So then the halacha actually is, regarding a regular Yavama, Tekina l'Rabbana Misheni. So Rabbana instituted that then she does get a ksuba from the second husband, meaning from the Yavam. And the reason is because it shouldn't be Kal Be'inam L'Hoitziya, that she should be able to get something and she shouldn't be able to just remove her from the marriage. Now, here also, she's not getting a ksuba from the Rishon, not because there wasn't any money in the estate, but because she's a secondary erva. And maybe therefore Isla, maybe she would get her ksuba from the Yavam. So that's the question that they asked. In this case, would she get a ksuba or not? So Rav Sheshes said to them, Tinisua. We learned this in the Braisa, and this Braisa is talking about in general regards to all Yavamas. The Braisa says, Ksubasa nichse bail harishon, regarding, as we said before, as we quoted this halacha previously in the Avlamat Chas, that the ksuba of the Yavama doesn't go to her current husband, but to her first husband. V'mhoisesh ni'ilabal, and the Braisa says explicitly, if it was, she was a secondary heir to the husband, then afilam yavmeila, then even from the Yavam she doesn't get, and again, seemingly clear because it's coming from the first husband, and that the first husband is not going to give her, and therefore she doesn't get, in spite of the fact that generally we institute for the Yavama to get from the Yavam, in this case where it's a penalty that she's losing it because it's a secondary erva, we didn't institute for her to get it from the Yavam. Now, the Gemara asked the following question. Now, Mechlal de Ikka, what it sounds like from your answer, is the way you're describing the Braisa, is that there is a Yavama, the Islam Yavam, that would get a ksuba from the Yavam. And that is, as Rashi explains the question, that you answered the question. Because you said clearly from the Brisa, you see that in this question, when she's a shneer to the Baila, she doesn't get a ksuba from the Yavam. But the problem is the Brisa itself. The Brisa said in this case that afilim Yavam ein lo, that even from the Yavam, from the husband for sure she's not going to get, because she's a secondary erva, and then we penalize her, she doesn't get a ksuba. But even the Yavam she's not going to get. Now the wording of even sounds like, but there are other Yavamas who, let's say, was not a secondary erva to the husband, that would get a ksuba from the husband, from the Yavam. And the problem is, but the Reish of the Brisa said clearly, kesubasa nichzei ba'al harishon, ksuba doesn't get from the Yavam, it gets from the first husband. So what is the Brisa saying? But in this case, where she's a secondary heir to the husband, even from the Yavam she's not going to get. What do you mean, even? You never get from the Yavam. It's only from the husband. Now, so that the Gemara answers, which we had already been assuming that in our previous discussion, Chesuri Mechzer V'Achikitani. That word's missing from the Brisa, and this is what it should be saying. Kesubasa al Nechzer Baal HaRishon. Yes, generally, the Yavama collects a ksuba not from the Yavam, but from her first husband's estate. Now, ve'i les lamirishon, and this is the words that have to be inserted, that if the first husband's estate doesn't have any money, tekinu la misheni, then they instituted that she should collect from the second one from the yavam, and that is, as we had said on Daf Lamates, kedesh leitei kala be'inav leitzia, because if there's no ksuba, then he's not going to have any problem. Just, okay, you know what, just leave the marriage. It's not going to be any liability. So therefore, we instituted that there has to be some ksuba, so in that case, she will get from the yavam, but in spite of that, that's what the Brisa tells us, but if she was a secondary heir to the husband, then that's a different type of case. That's not getting because there's a lack of funds, but because of some problematic element in their marriage, because she was a secondary heir, and therefore she won't get a ksuva even from the yavam. Now the Gemara continues with the topic of the Mishnah that spoke about that the contrast, that although we said that someone that's rabbinically prohibited to the husband doesn't get a ksuba, the Mishnah actually concluded by saying that someone that's biblically prohibited to her husband will get her ksuba. So the Gemara says, that's the following question from Rabbi Yechanan. Amon l'kayin gadol, gerusha v'chalitza l'kayin hedyot, these biblically prohibited marriages. So we said that they get a ksuba. But the question is, yesh lehem mezoinos? Do they also get sustenance? Do they get fed? Or ain lehem mezoinos? Or do they not get it? Now the Gemara asked what exactly the question is. Hey chedame, what's the case conceptualization? If it's told that they're just married, they're staying married, even though it's in sin, but they're remaining married, this kedushin that's taifis, and she's dwelling there. Well, then the problem is, halacha is mandating it, she's got to get out of this marriage. You're going to say, and then we say that he has to feed her? What do you mean? We say there's no marriage, meaning there's halachically marriage, we're saying you have to get rid of her. Of course, we're not going to say that he has to feed her because we don't want her to feed her, and then that she'll have to leave the marriage. So late tzricha must be that what we're talking about is shahalachu l'medina zayam. They're not living together in sin. He went overseas. Now v'lov savachli, she borrowed money to eat because she's not around to feed her. Now that the question is my. What would the halacha be over there? And the question is as follows. Mezayni t'nai kesubininu. Essentially, the halacha of mezayni, the husband has to feed his wife, is one of the conditions written in the ksuba, because that's actually the terminology that's written in the ksuba. It says, atehe yasva bevesi, you will sit in my house, umisazna menichse, and you'll be fed from my property, from my estate, kol yimei megar molasayach, even all the days of when you're widowed, as long as you're still part of my household, even if I'm dead, you're going to eat from the property. Now, that's a condition in the ksuba. Now, mid isla ksuba isla mezayni, as we said in our Mishnah, and the fact that these biblically prohibited relations do get the ksuba, so she gets the mezaynis too, which is a condition in the ksuba. A dilma, or maybe this is the other side of the coin, ksuba to lemishkel mishkel or mefik. There's a difference between the ksuba and this tanai of the ksuba, because a ksuba generally, what happens is when do you collect it? When you're leaving, when it's over. When it's over, there's an isla, so that she gets. But mezayni, regarding feeding her, there's a problem over there, because dilma ti'akiv gabe, if we let him feed her, that's going to make her stay longer, because she's having a good time, she's getting all the food that she needs. And therefore, maybe they're actually less, she won't get that, because we don't want this relationship to continue. So we have no problem taking it, because it's you're taking it on the way out. Here, you're going to stay longer. Maybe she doesn't get mezaynus. Some alayis, Rabbi Yochanan responds to me, says, less, you're right, she doesn't get. although it's a Tanai Ksuba, but we don't want her to stay, and therefore we're not going to have him feed her. That he asked him, but the time when the Braisa says, yes, the Braisa says clearly she gets Mezainis. So Rabbi Yochanan answered, Kitan Yahahi, when did we learn that she gets Mezainis? That is La'achar Misa. That's after he's dead already. As we quoted from the actual terminology of the Ksub, it says, Kol Yimei Meiger Amar Lasayach, meaning if he died and he did not divorce her before he died, then she'll get fed as long as she's a widow, like any other almana. Because as we said, Mezainis is Tnai Ksuba, and here when he's dead, so there's no problem of Dimatis Akiv Gabe that she might stay longer in sin because there's no more, he's dead already, and therefore we have no problem fulfilling the Tnai Ksuba. Istarmeh, those are say a different version of how this conclusion came about, that Amale, so he responded to him, meaning Rabbi Yechanan answered the question, saying, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa Yeshla that she does get. So on that, Rabbi Elazar asked, but what do you mean? What's shot in the Braisa? But shouldn't we want her to get out? Why would the Braisa say that we feed her? So that Rabbi Yechon responded, but okay, it's a good question, but the Braisa says that she gets it. So that Rabbi Elazar says that no, Kitanya he, when did we learn the Braisa that she gets the Mezainis is La'achar Misa. But if he's not dead, then I hold that she wouldn't get it because we want her to leave and therefore we don't want her to get fed. Now the Gemara moves on this topic of the Mishnah, clarifying this halacha. Amon l'kohen gadol, again a widow to a kohen gadol, grusha v'chalitza l'kohen hedyot, a woman that was divorced or had chalitza done to her by the yavam in regards to marrying a kohen hedyot. So the halacha is, as we said in our Mishnah, yesh la ksuba. The Mishnah said clearly that these biblically prohibited marriages, the woman does get her ksuba. Now the Braisa says even more, it says that she gets peiros. Now what that means is that although he really consumed what's called the peiros of the nichsi meluk, she brings in certain properties, although he's not taking any responsibility for those properties, he gets to eat the produce, he gets the utility of them. Now, the halach in this case is that he's eating it inappropriately, because essentially there wasn't a valid halachic marriage in this case, because it's a marriage in sin, and therefore he has to pay up. In other words, although, as Gemara says in Masechet Ksubis, that regarding a regular kosher marriage, that whatever the husband ate, as long as they were married, that he consumed from the peiros, he ate and he doesn't have to go ahead and pay that up. Here we penalize him, and that is even what he ate, he has to pay up because he's inducing her into a sin over here by having this marriage. And therefore we penalize him that not only does he have to give a ksuba, which that every woman gets, but here we even make him have to give back the peiros that he consumed. And mezainis, she gets mezainis, as the previous Gemara had said, that would seem to be only la'achar misa, because when he's still alive, then he wouldn't give her mezainis because we want her to leave their marriage. And blois, she gets the worn-out clothing that she had brought in. And moreover, so the one unique halacha was the halacha of peiros, which everything else here was what every woman gets, but peiros was unique, as Rashi had explained, where we're penalizing him, and although a regular husband doesn't have to pay the peiros, but here he would have to pay the peiros because it's a marriage and sin. And v'hi pesula, the woman, the almano or the grusha chalutza, becomes invalid herself. She becomes a chalala. And uvlad apostel, the child also becomes invalid, becomes a chalala or chalala. And v'kaivin oisul lohitzi, we force him to divorce her. We say, although kedushin was taifis, but this is a marriage and sin, he has to divorce her. That's regarding the biblically prohibited marriages. Shnizim de b'seifim, regarding the secondary rites, which are rabbinic, as we said in our Mishnah, ein la kesuba, she doesn't get a kesuba, loy peiros, she doesn't get paid back for the peiros her husband ate, loy mezainis, she doesn't get fed, v'loy beloy, she doesn't get the worn-out clothing she brought in, but v'hi kasher, she's valid, because it's only rabbinically prohibited, uvlo de kasher, and her child is kasher. However, still v'kaifa nes lahitzi, we force him to divorce her, because even though it's only rabbinically prohibited, but it's still prohibited. Now, on that, the Gemara asks the big question. Amr b'shem min lazer. Memneima amru. Why is it that they said this halacha that amon l'kohen gadol yesh la ksuba? Why is it, regarding a biblically prohibited relationship, the Torah tells us that she gets her ksuba? So that b'shem min lazer says, memnei shehu pasul, because he's pasul. As Rashi brings from the Gemara Masechtas Becheiros, that a man that marries a woman in sin, the man who, let's say, he's a kohen, it's forbidden to do that vayda in the Beis HaMikdash, until he swears an oath that he's not going to have any pleasure from her, because having that relation makes him actually apostle. So because he's apostle, v'hipsula, and she also becomes invalid, as we said, because of that relationship, she becomes a chalala. Now that B'Shem Allah says, v'chamakim shuhu apostle, v'hipsula, where he becomes invalid because of the relationship, and she becomes invalid, so continue on with Bayes, so kansu oisai kesuba. So we penalize him to have to give the ksuba, which actually Rashi explains what really he's saying is that we don't penalize her more than any other woman. And that is, she's not taking any more responsibility for creating this relationship more than him. They're both becoming puzzle in this situation. And therefore, we're not going to create a penalty on her that she doesn't get a ksuba. Ultimately, there's a marriage here. And although it's in sin, but she gets a ksuba when she leaves. Now, however, but why then, by secondary arise, did we say that the woman's getting penalized? Because although they're married, she's not getting ksuba when they leave. And that's only rabbinically prohibited. And that he says, because in that case, he's kosher. Nothing happens to him. It doesn't become pasul avodah by having this rabbinically prohibited marriage. And she's kosher too. As we said before, she doesn't become a chalala. Her child doesn't become a chalala. Now, but then we penalize her of the ksuba. And the reason is, as Rashi explains, because, as we said, we don't want this marriage to continue. We can do whatever it takes that this marriage, whether it's biblically prohibited or rabbinically prohibited, not to continue. Now, if we're going to say that she doesn't get her ksuba, and she doesn't get any of the, even tonight ksuba, she doesn't get anything from him, so she's going to leave the marriage because it's not worthwhile. Now, however, so why don't you say the same thing by the biblical arayas too? Why don't you say there that we penalize her that she'll get out? The reason is because you don't need that. Because, and that's what Shimon Elazar is saying, is because she becomes possible because of him. And he becomes possible because of her. So they're fighting. It's causing discord because of all the psulim that are happening. And for that alone, she's going to leave the marriage. And therefore, we don't have to impose any specific new penalty on her that she doesn't get her ksuba. But by rabbinic condition, oh, everything's great. Okay, it's rabbinic prohibition. Okay, it's not such a big deal. Oh, they're going to stay in the sin. Therefore, we have to do something to rile them up to make sure the marriage ends. So therefore, we penalize her from the ksuba. She's like, look, I'm not getting fed. I'm not getting ksuba. What is it? What do I have over here? And therefore, she's going to leave. Again, but by the biblical prohibited, it will end because we don't have to do anything to cause discord. Because everyone, she's becoming halal. He can't do that by the... And therefore, as the terminology of Shem Elazar says, we penalize him. In other words, we have to keep the regular halacha of a ksuba that he has to pay. That's one reason. Rabbi, I mean, he gives us a different interpretation. He says, Halala divri Torah. This is biblically prohibited, meaning the case of Malika and Gadol, Grusha, Vachlitzaka, and Hedget. The divri Torah ain't Tzrich and Chizek, and this is a general concept brought many times in Shas. Biblical prohibitions don't need support. Everyone knows that's a biblically prohibited Ister. People are not going to be so wide in doing it. And if we don't have to make a support to have people averse some type of negative reinforcer to say, oh, you're going to do it, you're going to get it, you're not going to get a ksuba. No, because people are not so quick to do it anyway. But valola devi seifim. But the other cases are rabbinically prohibited, but devi seifim tzrich and chizik, it needs support, meaning people are more lax and rabbinically prohibited isurim, and therefore we said, look, you know what, if you get married, you're not going to get a ksuba. Oh, okay, now maybe she won't go ahead and violate the isur rabbanan, and that's why we had to introduce that halacha. Now the Brisa says Dava Achar, another interpretation, a third interpretation, and that is regarding Amal Kohen Gadol and a Grusha V'Chlitz L'Kohen Hedyud, Zehu, in other words, him, the man, is Margila. He seduces and induces her to marry him. However, Bezu, in the case of a secondary erva, and the reason why a secondary erva is unique, as we said before, is because she doesn't become pasul. She doesn't become a halala. Her children don't become pasul. They don't become a halala. And therefore, she doesn't lose anything, the woman, by cohabiting and having a relationship of marriage with this man. So he margilasai. She will be seducing him to get married. That is as Rashi explains, because as we know that a woman wants to get married more than the man. Now, so if all things are equal, we'll say that it's the woman that's prompting this marriage, even if it's a marriage in sin. Now, however, when it's a biblically prohibited situation where it's going to cause our problems, she's going to become a chalala, her child's going to become a chalala, then she's not so quick to jump in because it's going to be problematic. Then we say that he's the one that's inducing her. But if everything is equal and no one's losing anything because of the situation, then we say it's the woman that's actually doing more of the work, and she'll say, let's get married, because she's not losing anything, because the woman, in spite of an isser, will be the one that will want the marriage will mean more to her than the man to go ahead and violate the isser. So she'll do that. And therefore, in that case, we penalize her. That's by the rabbinic isser. But by the biblical prohibition, we say that no, he was margil har, because she's losing a lot over there. She's becoming halala. The husband is only temporarily. She's becoming halala, her children become halala, and therefore she's not going to be so head and quick to do it, and therefore we penalize him. That's the third interpretation. Now the Gemara asks, Dava achar man katani lo. There were two opinions mentioned. Said their name, Rabbi Shimon Lazar, and then it said Rebbe. Then it says, Davarach, another interpretation. Sounds like someone is saying another reason. Who was it? Was it Rabbi Shimon Lazar or was it Rebbe? So the Gemara says actually both interpretations. Ikadam, there are those that say, Rabbi Shimon Lazar katani lo. And but he already said a reason. So on that, the Gemara says, Uma tam kami. He was coming to explain his original reasoning. And that is as follows. Ma tam amruhu pasal v'ipsula. What's the reason why we said this? That when he's pasal and she's pasal, comes to a saik suba, that we penalize him, that he has to pay the ksuba. That's because, as he explained, this is davar acher, nishu margila, because he's the one that's inducing her to get married. Umatam hu kasha v'ikshay. What's the reason when he's kasha and she's kasha, comes to a saik suba, that we penalize her the ksuba? That's as we said, nishu hi margila sai, because she's inducing him, as we explained the reasoning before, because there she's not losing anything, and although there's averis, so people are definitely don't want to be averis, but she wants a little bit more because she wants to get married more than the man, and therefore she's inducing that, and therefore she loses the ksuba. Ikadam, and those that say it's actually Rebbe Katanila. It was Rebbe that was explaining his reasoning of that he said that the main reason is if it's biblical, it doesn't need support. If it's rabbinic, it needs support, which is then we penalize somebody the ksuba, who that's the woman that loses. But v'chalutza kokashle. Rebbe had a problem with his explanation. It was the case of the chalutza, and that is the chalutza, but regarding a woman that had chalitza from her yavam. Now, a chalutza to a kayin is not a biblical prohibition. It's only dirabanan, as the Gemara says in Masechet Kedushin Daf Ayin Chesem and Aleph, that we learn that from the word ve'isha grusha, an extra vav, we say that that includes the chalutza. Now, the Gemara there says clearly that that's only rabbinic, the chalutza, and the pasuk is only what's called a smacht mama. It's an allusion to the halacha of chalutza. Now, in spite of that, the Mishnah tells us that ve'isla ksuba, that she gets her ksuba. Now, why does she get her ksuba? Didn't you say that when it's rabbinically prohibited, it's har that's inducing the situation, that it has nothing to do with inducing or not, according to Rabbi? It's regarding if it's biblical or rabbinic. Biblical needs support, but does not need support. Rabbinic needs support. And therefore, if it's rabbinic needs support, she should have to lose her ksuba, according to Rabbi's interpretation. That is what the Gemara says, the Hada Amar. That's why in the Brisa, Rabbi says, Davar Achar, because he has to explain this case. And he says, Kivin the Pasla, Midrabanan, since he invalidates the Kayin in the marriage to the chalutza, invalidates her from rabbinic truma, zehu margila, so therefore it's him that's inducing her to get married because she is losing in that case. And however, vizu, regarding regular shnias, where nothing invalidating happens to her, he margila say, she induces him. So in other words, Rebbe, although he was saying that the dividing line between her losing the gesuba is if it's biblical or not, says, however, regarding the case of chalutza, that is different, because although that's rabbinic, she will get her ksuba, because there she will not be margil him, because again she's losing out from truma, because she becomes a halala rabbinically, so she becomes rabbinically forbidden in truma, and therefore actually there she won't be margil him, he'll be margil her, and therefore we penalize him, that he has to give the ksuba, and we don't penalize her. Now the Gemara asks, fine, that was the two interpretations of Davar Acha, but my ikka bein Rebbe, what is the halachic difference between the reasoning of Rebbe that if it needs chizik or not, meaning if it's biblical or rabbinic, that's the difference if we're going to penalize her the ksuba or not, or the Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar, that he basically made it sound like who's being margal who, and that's, as the Mefarshim explains, we're showing them that it's going on the first interpretation in the Gemara of who was said the Dava Achar, in the first version of the Dava Achar was Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar, that he defines the criteria of who he penalized based on who's inducing who to get married. So what would be the halachic difference between those two interpretations? So that Amrav Chizda, he says, Mamzeris and the Sinali Yisroelik Ben Ad. The difference between them would be a prohibited marriage of a Mamzeris and the Sina to a Jewish man, as follows. Manda Madari Rais, according to Rebbe, that says that the main idea is if it's biblical. Hanami Darai, so that's a biblically prohibited marriage. It says in the Torah, you're not allowed to marry a Mamzeris and the Sina, a Mamzeris. So therefore, she would get her ksuba because it doesn't need chizik. But man dam neshu margila, according to Rabbi Shimon Lazar, who says that the main criteria is who's inducing who. Hahi margila le. she, in this case, would be trying to induce him to get married. And the reason is because in the case of a Mzeres and the Sina, she doesn't get any worse off by marrying a Jewish man. And therefore, actually, as Rashi says, she'll try very hard to marry a Jewish man. Now, the reason why she would do that is because that's her in to the Jewish people. Now, Rashi elaborates, and he says, although she's not really getting into the Jewish people that way, meaning a Mamzeres can't marry in, because her child will anyways be a Mamzer, as the Gemara says in Afayin Chesem et Aleph, that what's called Holach Archa Psulan, whenever you have a kosher spouse and the other one's not kosher, we go after the Psul, it's going to take on the invalidation of the invalidated parent, so the child's Mamzer anyway. And that Rashi explains that no, since there is some type of a takana for Mamzerim, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Kedushin of Samach Tesem et Aleph from Rabbi Tarfon, that there's a way of purifying Mamzerim, because you can go ahead and marry a shifcha, then that child will be a slave, and then you free the slave, will be a kosher Yisrael. So therefore, anyway, since she's not losing, she's going to go ahead and try to induce him to marry her. And therefore, in such a case, she will not get exhumed, will penalize her, and that would be the halachic difference between the two interpretations. Now, however, the Gemara says that doesn't work out necessarily, because Rabbi Eliezer, that he argues on Rabbi Tarfon over the Masechtas Kedushin, the Amar that he says that a mamzer that marries a shivcha maidservant and has a son, that actually there's no purification process of the mamzeris element because of the slavery element, because actually he says, hareza evra mamzer, all you did was add on another problem of iser. Now he's not just a mamzer, that child, he's an evra mamzer. So therefore, according to him, it comes out that ha, since in this situation of mamzeris and the sinul Yisrael, she would have no way of purifying her children by trying to marry Yisrael. So she's not going to try to induce him to get married to her, because A, she's not gaining anything, and B, actually, she's causing him problems, because she's causing his children to be mamzerim, and therefore they're going to be fighting all day because, you know, okay, you know, maybe we had reasons that we wanted to get married, but it was a forbidden relationship. And now look, my children, they can't marry into the Jewish people, and therefore, in this case, actually, everyone will hold there's going to be a ksuba, because she's not going to be Markalim. If anything, he's going to be the one trying to go ahead and make this marriage work out. And therefore, the Gemara is back to the question, what would be the nafkamin between the two interpretations? This is not a good case, according to Rabbi Eliezer, because everyone would agree that yesh la ksuba. So Elam Rav Yisrael, rather, he says the difference between them would be the following case. Machzeh gerusha mishenisa sikibneo. The difference between Rabbi Yom Shem Galil would be when a man remarries the woman that he divorced, who in the interim had married another man, when he violates that iser, that will be the difference between them if she gets a ksuba or not. And that is Manda Mederaisa, the one who says that the criteria if it's biblical or not, that's Rebbe. So Anna Mederaisa, this is a biblically prohibited iser, it says in the Torah. And therefore she gets her ksuba, as we said, because that doesn't need support. But Amanda Amam Neshu Margila Kondabashim Laza, that says it's based on because if he's inducing her to get married, Hahi Margilalay. In this case, she's going to be inducing him to get married because here she doesn't lose anything. Again, if everything is equal, no one's losing anything. She's the one that wants it more than him, even though there's a sin. And therefore, when the Machzeh Grusha says she doesn't become Chalala because she's anyways forbidden to Kehanim because she's a Grusha, and her children do not become Chalala in this situation of Machzeh Grusha say, so therefore, that would seem to be a good case. That would be a difference that Kondra B'Shem Lazar, she would not get a ksuba. And that the Gemara says, however, Ul Rebbe Kiva, it doesn't work out of Kondra B'Kiva. Dama that he says, Yesh Mamzer Mechiva Lavin, the child does become a Mamzer, even just from a negative prohibition. Haloi Margalei Lei V'Lei Midi, she's not going to try to induce him, because actually, he will be upset at her, because he will cause her, she will be causing him to have his children mamzerim, because that is a negative prohibition of Machzeh Grusha Asay. So as we said in the previous case of Mamzeres Nesina, that she won't, because he'll be upset at her, that he's causing her children, his children to be psulim. Here also, according to Bekiva, his children will be mamzerim. So according to everybody, she's going to get iksuba, because she won't be margul, and it is deraisa. So Elam Rav Papa, he comes up with a different case. He says, the difference between them will be a woman that's still single, but she's a ba'ula, she's not a virgin anymore. And the reason for this case is that a single girl that's just not a besula is only a violation of a positive commandment. Because the Torah tells us that a kohen gadol has to marry a besula, which the inference is that he can't marry a ba'ula. And we know the halach is that a lav habo mechlal say, if it's a negative prohibition that's derived from a positive commandment, in the context, as it says in the Torah, it's only a positive commandment. Now, Rashi points out, as he does elsewhere, that although she had a relationship that was out of a marriage, that's how she became a ba'ula, that doesn't make her into a zayna, into a harlot, because a zayna is only a situation where it's a woman, someone that she's, it's a biyasura, someone that's forbidden, if let's say it was with a mamzer, or someone that's sometimes biyasura, but with just another single man, although that's not allowed, but that doesn't make her into a zayna. Therefore, a ba'ula is only of a violation of a positive commandment to a kohen gadol. Now, the difference would be because mandam deraisa, the one who says that when it's biblical, sa'anam deraisa, this is a biblical violation, although it's just a, so to speak, just a positive commandment, and therefore she would get her ksuba. But amanda amam neshuhu margila, but the one who says the reason why she gets the ksuba is because he's inducing her to get married, hahi margila, in this case, she'll be inducing him to get married, because again, it's just a positive commandment that they're violating. So no one becomes possible from here. And therefore, as we said, everything said equally, when there's just an Isser, she's going to be the one pushing him more than him pushing her, because she really wants to get married more than the man. And he's saying, look, there's an Isser. She's like, okay, whatever, it's not a big deal. She'll be pushing more, and therefore she's margul him, and therefore penalizing her. And that would be the difference between Rabbi Yom Shimon Malazar. But again, the Gemara says it doesn't work out. Because Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that his opinion is mentioned on Daf Samach Omar Aleph, the Amad that he says, Yesh Chol Mechiv Asei, that the child, actually of a Be'ula Kohen Gadol, even though it's just a violation of a positive commandment, will create a child, a Cholol, Sahaloy Margalev Lemedi. She will not try to induce him, because again, he'll be upset at her that she made his children into a Chol. And therefore, with everything being said equally, she's not going to be inducing him. So according to everybody, Yesh Lek Suba. So Elam Rav Ashi gives a different case. He says, "Machzer suffix soitasa ikbenai." The difference will be in the case of a man that takes back his wife that there's a suspicion that she had an adulterous affair, and that is the cases a suffix soita specifically is when he goes through the process of the halacha that says in the Torah of a soita, meaning that he did kinui, he warned her, don't seclude with that man, and she did seclude with that man. There's actually a biblical prohibition. As it says in the Torah, Venitma two times tells us that she's prohibited both for the husband and with the man that she's suspected of having this adulterous affair with. Now, the Gemara explains what Rav Ashi is saying. Manda Madeirai Sahanami Deirai, the one who says it's biblical, so this is biblical. The Torah tells us Venitma, she's forbidden to her husband. And therefore, if he's still having relations with her, so that would be a case of a biblically prohibited issa where she gets her ksuba. But the one who says that the reason why she gets the ksuba is because he's inducing her, hahi margilale, in this case, she'll be doing it again because there's an isser. They both know, okay, once you had this extramarital relationship, then we're forbidden. But she says, no, come on, whatever. She's going to be doing it more than him because they both know there's an isser. And everything being equal, she wants to be married more than he wants to. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon Lazar, she's not going to get the ksuba. According to Rabbi, she will get the ksuba because it's Issa Deraisa, which doesn't need chizik. We have no reason to penalize her. However, the Gemara still says, doesn't work out. Rabbi Masi ben Charash to Amar that he says, even if her husband's on the way up to Bezdin to have her drink what's called the Mei Saita, where he's like, I warned you, you secluded, you're in the Parasha Saita, you have to drink the water of the Saita to inspect your abdomen to see if you really... If you committed adultery or not, so they're on the way up, and then he cohabits with her on the way up. On that, Ramaz Machar says asa zayna, he makes her into a zayna, because they're prohibited, and yet there's a cohabitation, and that's he considers like a bia basula, turns her into a zayna. Then so therefore the Gemara asks haloi margalev lemidi. Therefore, according to Ramaz Machar, she will not be inducing him to stay in this relationship. Because actually, she prefers to drink first. Because why should she say, let's stay in this relationship, where that Bia Basula is going to invalidate her from Kahuna because he's making her into a Zayin? She'll say, no, let's go up, let me drink. And therefore, he's going to be Margul Har. He says, no, you know, let's go ahead, let's have relations, let's cohabit. It's going to be him pushing her more than her pushing him. Because she's like, no way, you're ruining me from Kahuna. And therefore, the Gemara is back to the question. According to everybody, even according to Shimon Lazar, Yesh Lek Ksuba, she'll have the Ksuba because it's going to be him being Margal Har and not Har being Margal him. So Rav the Gemara concludes, Ela Amar Mabra Vashi, the case, the definitive case, that would be the difference between them, is Saita Vada Ikabinayu, would be a definite Saita. In other words, clear-cut case, we know a married woman that had an adulterous affair with another man, where then she's biblically prohibited to her husband, as the pasuk says by Midbar Hay. V'hilayin etfasa says that if we know that we had witnesses, we know that a woman committed an adulterous affair with another man. So it says, and she wasn't forced. Now the inference is that because she wasn't forced, like it says the pasuk by Midbar Perek Hay, says v'hilayin etfasa in the context of where a man has relations with a married woman, it says that she wasn't forced. Now the understanding of the pasuk is that since she wasn't forced, therefore she's forbidden to her husband. And that would seem to be a good case of the difference between Rabbi and Reb Shimon Elazar. According to Rabbi, it's a biblical prohibition of a woman that had an extramarital affair in her marriage to her husband, and therefore we don't penalize her because Issa D'Oraisa doesn't need any support. Whereas according to Reb Shimon Elazar, we're going to say that we're going to penalize her because she has nothing to lose in this case. And that is because she's already forbidden anyway. Now, and as we said, when all things are equal, we said that she's going to be the one inducing him to commit the sin in the marriage because she wants to be married more than him. Now, Rashi, however, does ask an obvious question. As we pointed out, this is seemingly a Saita Vadai would be a negative prohibition. Now, that's actually according to a specific opinion. It's according to the opinion of the Rabbanon, who argue in Rabbi Yisrael Keeper in the first paragraph of Yad Alpha Beis, where they say that it says in the Pasuk, Achri Ashahu Tama, where that's in the context actually of Amachzik Grishasa, but once she becomes defiled, where the Rabbanon understand from that includes a Saita. That is a Issa D'Oraisa, negative prohibition, of remarrying. Actually, according to one opinion, there's no Issa D'Oraisa mentioned in the Torah regarding remarrying a woman that had an extramarital affair as she was married. But according to the opinion, at least Rashi asks, of the Rabbanu who argue in Reb Shimon Keeper and hold that there is a negative prohibition in remarrying and staying married to the woman that had an extramarital affair, but then the Gemara could have asked the same question that was asking all these different interpretations, that according to Reb Kiva, as we said before, that he holds that there is a mamzer of Kibul Avin, so she won't be margal him, and therefore she should get a ksuba according to everybody, even according to Reb Shimon Elazar. Then Rashi explains that that's not a good question, because you could answer, as the Gemara said on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, that everybody agrees that someone that's Ba'al HaSaita, the child's not going to be a mamzer. And therefore, although it would seemingly be a good question, according to those opinions that hold that there is a negative prohibition of taking the wife that was Mizana, and there are those who hold that's a negative prohibition, and Rebbe Kiva holds that there's mamzer from Chival Avin, that's not the case, as the Gemara there on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis explains, that everyone agrees that there's no Vlad mamzer from being Ba'al HaSaita. And therefore, that's the case of Saita Vade, that would be the difference in halacha between Rebbe and Reb Shimon Elazar. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, is about what type of relationship, as we had learned in the previous parak, gets to feed the woman Truma, if he's a kohen or not. Now, as we explained in the previous Mishnah, the beginning of the parak, the Taisa says that what this parak is doing, it's consolidating all the halachas that we learned in the Masechta and putting it in clear ways of that a person could categorize all the halachas. So it puts together many Mishnahs that we had in the previous parakim that says, Bas Yisrael Mu'res L'Kohen. Let's say you have a non-Kohen woman. Her father wasn't a Kohen, who's engaged to a Kohen. Or Mu'beres M'Kohen, that she's pregnant from a Kohen. Or Shemes Yavim L'Kohen, or that she's anticipating a Yavim that's a Kohen. Or the other way around. V'chim Bas Kohen L'Yisrael, or her father was a Kohen, but she's engaged to a Yisrael. In all these cases, Allah has loytecha b'truma. She cannot eat truma in this state, as we learned on Daf Samach Zayin and Mabez in Perek HaMana, that the uber, although she has a fetus, which a child from a kohen helps her eat, but here when it's a fetus, or a yavam, or engagement, the Allah is paislam loy machilim. It gives you the worst end on both ends, meaning it invalidates. Let's say you're a bas kohen, but you're engaged to Yisrael, you can't eat, and it's loy machilim. And that is, if let's say you're Bas Yisrael and you're engaged to a Kohen, it doesn't help you eat. And these are the states which the Mishnah is talking about, that either way, she can't eat Truma. Similarly, Bas Yisrael Mureses L'Levi. You have a non-Levi, our father was not a Kohen or a Levi, that's Mures L'Levi, engaged to a Levi. Or Muberes M'Levi, pregnant from a Levi. Or Shemez Yavim L'Levi, or anticipating Yivim to a Levi. Or the other way around, V'chim Bas Levi L'Yisrael, Salach is L'Teich B'Maiser. She doesn't eat Maiser. Again, the same thing, are the double-edged. Now, however, the Gemara will ask that a non-Levi woman is allowed to eat Meiser. So what is this halacha saying that he'll passel her, he can't feed her? What do you mean? It's like regular chulin in a sense, and even a non-Levi can eat it. So why is it saying that she can't eat Meiser? But be that as it may, it's the same halacha that we were saying regarding Truma as regarding Meiser. Similarly, if you have a bas Levi Mureses Lekayin, or Mu'beris Mikayin, or Shemeres Yavim Lekayin, or the other way around, Vachin Bas Kayin Levi, here you're going to be double-edged on both sides. Lei Teichel, she can't eat. Lei B'Truma, V'Lei B'Meiser. She can't have Truma, as we said, because that's the halacha of Paisav Lei Meichel. And that's because a Leviya is considered a Zar Legabe Truma. You have to be Kayin specifically. And Meiser, again, the Gemara will explain what's the reason for that. Why is that a problem of, if you're Bas Kayin, of eating Meiser, if you're no worse, if anything, you're higher level of that, you could even eat Truma. But be that as it may, we're saying that if you're in the state of Erisin or pregnancy or Shemer Siavam, that state will, if you had it up until now, will help, will make you lose it. And if you didn't have it up until now, will not have you have it.